there's a lot of things that can make you feel anxious in this world. I mean, we all have it happen. But when it's happening all the time, and when it's pervasive, and when it's chronic, that's when it becomes, you know, a real debilitating issue. And it's called, there's actually an acronym for it, GAD, GAD, Generalized Anxiety Disorder. Many people suffer from this. They battle through it. And it is a battle. And it's one that you have to take on. Otherwise, it can crush your life. And we know that from talking with our good friend, Dr. John Braccio, drjohnb.com. That's where the podcasts are. Regional Psychological Services of East Lansing. He's on the other end of our line. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And definitely generalized anxiety disorder is a overwhelming thing for many persons. It's pervasive. It's something that's ongoing. And it just can impact a person in all aspects of their life. Like you qualified before, everybody has some level of anxiety.
Sure.
And that's good. That keeps us going. But when it gets to the point that it impacts on our ability to function, and particularly when it can be issues that seem very small, like maybe even leaving a half hour early to 10 minutes to work and just obsessed something's going to go wrong along the way, or afraid to get on expressways, or fearful any communication you have that you're going to be, you know, offending somebody. There's so many areas that this can impact on us. Now, the numbers I see are roughly 7 million people, which is quite a few, actually, have generalized anxiety, whereas 20% have some type of anxiety. So anxiety is something we kind of throw around as I feel anxious, I feel this, I feel that, but we overlook often how debilitating it can be for persons that really suffer from it. And the pervasiveness, that's just a good word to use, that the impact that it has on the person. It's just important to be aware of that. Like when we have friends, if we're interacting, if people come over, if we're on the job, if we're going into a store to buy something, if we have friendships, call it what you will, to be aware that a lot of people are highly anxious and worried about things. So what we want to do is, of course, try not to be that way. So if we're not that way, then I think we can be helpful to people by trying to reduce anxiety. And if we haven't, we have to really be working at trying to overcome this this condition that, as I was saying, it can also impact you in all aspects of your life. And a bad, very bad thing about it can lead to substance abuse. It can lead to depression. It can lead to physical problems. So it's clearly something that can impact all aspects of your life. So it's certainly, if you have this, you really want to work at getting over it.
Does everybody who has a diagnosis of generalized anxiety disorder, do they all suffer panic attacks to some degree? Is that a common thread, or is that not necessarily a part of GAD?
Not necessarily. That would be kind of a little more extreme. You know, people that have had panic attacks, you know, those are really severe. You can even think you're dying and often end up in emergency. So people can have some symptoms that we'd call a panic attack, but not necessarily full-blown panic attack. Now, people can, but that is a different and a more severe condition due to the intensity of it when it hits you. So you can have that, but generalized anxiety disorder would not necessarily entail panic attacks, which, by the way, is a whole other topic we can deal with sometime. But again, I think that we live in a world where there is a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry, and it's not in the past where it might have been to have enough food, and not that there can't be issues there, but certainly most Americans have enough food, or where people are worried about, is there going to be heat? Is there going to be, you know, can we survive? So even if most of your bodily comforts are taken care of, the aspects of worry, the worry that people have, and if you haven't already been a worrier, it's hard to identify. But Dave, I've worked with so many people over the decades that they're just overwhelmed with life. It just overwhelms them, and the impact that it has on them and their relationships is really something really horrible. The best treatment tends to be a combination of medication and counseling to kind of help people get through. Not that you can't deal with, you know, one or the other, but a lot of it is learning to think. It's called like stinking thinking. You know, you've got to be learning how to be thinking in a positive way and trying to put things in perspective and not allowing totally unreasonable fears overwhelm you. You know, having some fear and anxiety about things that are fearful or where anxiety can help you function more, say like on an athletic field, it's getting the summum bonum of Aristotle, the golden mean, kind of being able to deal with anxiety but not let it tip over to the point that you can't function and you have difficulty even breathing and you're just always so worried, is this going to happen, might this happen? And some people even worry about what's going to happen with their grandchildren 10, 15 years from now. So that's even how far worriers are professional at the ability to find things, to be worrying about.
Is it easy or difficult to diagnose? Like if someone were to come in you and you're like, well, what seems to be the problem? You're like, well, I have this incredible fear of, for example, public speaking. It fills me with dread and anxiety, and I can barely take it, and yet I have to do it every once in a while. I can't stand it. I mean, would you say, well, you know, maybe you're going down that path, or that's a specific thing, and all other aspects, you're okay. What gets to the point where you finally say you do have generalized anxiety here? Is it a complicated process?
Well, your example there would be more of an adjustment disorder.
Okay.
Relates to a specific set of facts, and it would not necessarily be something that's long-lasting.
Okay.
It would relate specifically. It could be a specific anxiety disorder, or I would tend to put that in adjustment disorder, which is not a permanent condition.
Sure.
Generalized anxiety, it impacts all aspects of your life. These are people that are very anxious, and they tend to be anxious about a lot of things, and they can create new things to be anxious about every day. I mean, so it's a far more pervasive condition.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling disorder because there's always something to substitute in to be anxious about. If something else is resolved, there's something new, or they bring it in, right?
Well, that is true, and they often get it in their homes, okay?
All right.
You know, there may be somewhat of a chemical impact on your outlook, but if you grew up with people that are highly anxious, it's a learned behavior, too. You can actually, you can worry. Like, there are people that say, well, don't be too positive. You might as well always be worrying because then you won't be disappointed when bad things happen, where I work kind of under the other theory. You'll be happier in life, yeah, even if something doesn't work, because you know the next one will work. So it's kind of a question of how you're going to approach life. But no, generalized anxiety is just by the definition. It's a broader-based type of anxiety, and it can impact anywhere. And I'm sure if you think about it, you've talked to people that have worries about things that are so far removed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I won't say the meteor coming into your house, okay, but hypothetically, I guess a meteor could come and get you while you're driving your car. But there to be worrying about that would be, I think, outside of the realm of normal things to be worrying about. But worriers are spectacular at what they can find to worry about. And in my work, there's not a day that I'm working that I don't run into people that have what I would call really unreasonable fears based on the facts. So
you work with counseling and medication to overcome, or some combination thereof. Is it generally effective? Are you able to see where people can become highly functional again, and I guess less afraid of everything in life around them?
Well, I think if people really work at this, I think there's no question. Like, we tend to work a lot with family physicians because I read a while ago, and I think there's probably some truth to this, that 90% of visits to the family doctor or primary care doctor has some level of anxiety related to it. So I think if a person really wants to change and they really work at it, that they can make changes, if not complete changes, but they can certainly improve. And there are those that can make a complete change, but it does require a lot of thought stopping, cognitive restructuring, re-looking at life and trying to put things in perspective. But remember, people that are highly anxious, they tend to be aware of every minor thing that's happened, like a plane crash. Okay, well, did you know this when this plane crashed? I could say, yeah, but the probabilities are small. And it takes a while for them to get over the fact that, yes, the probability is small, but they're focusing on that plane that went down or that car accident. when someone drove to Detroit or wherever. So
the 1/100th of 1% affects them and becomes something that they dwell on rather than the vast majority, which is the bigger picture, that they're not able to do that.
Absolutely, that is really true. And if you really think about it, it can be very, very debilitating and put you out of commission.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are answers for this, and there is counseling. There is some medication. There are, but taking that first step to try to get help, that has to be difficult because that could cost somebody, you know, add into the anxiety. What if I'm not able to be helped? What if I'm, you can start doing the what ifs, but you have to take that step, and that's an important first step. 7 million Americans who are suffering from this debilitating set of symptoms. This is not a good thing overall, but there are answers out there, and you can get some of those with Regional Psychological Services, our good friend, Dr. John Braccio, in East Lansing, where he's practiced now for a good many years. And I know the less said now about football, the better. We look ahead to basketball. I mean, there's a little bit of football left with Michigan State, but it's been a very tough season for the green and white. I know you wear that on your sleeve, but you look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is still pretty solid. Overall, I think we can.
I'm very happy for Rich, our friend there, who is an Ohio State fan. So he's got to be.
I knew he was going to mention.
I'm sure he's very happy. And remember, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Go Ohio! How does that sound?
Well, there it is. He's talking about the team that wears blue and those little funny-looking helmets down the road. Dr. John Braccio, drjohnb.com. Drjohnb.com is the website for the podcast where this will be shortly. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure with you, Dave. Bye-bye.
1320 Morning Wake Up WILS.